So I'm going to say what an enriched treasure it is to be all of us a part of the gospel, experiencing those things of the gospel, and doing something a little bit different today, maybe that we haven't done for a while, and take a little bit of a field trip. Remember what that was like when we were kids? We'd go out, venture into something new, something was exciting, something we'd never experienced before. And I would hope that even God would even open our eyes and ears today for something new that he would have for us. There was an entitlement of a message for today for having a spiritual momentum. Because many of us have had that place where we started, seen so many have started on fire, lose the fire, and kind of fizzle out. And many have gained and kept that fire. And the perseverance and the patience that it takes to retain and to keep that. So in that place, in a field trip, if we would all just think back naturally in our regular families, wherever we were born and whatever things we were experiencing and those natural elements of our lives, at some point that radically changed. At some point there was given unto us a transition and a life and a new life, a new hope, a new destiny, a whole new creation. And if we think back on those moments, that moment, when it was, if we're on that bus and on that field trip and going along in an experience, usually not a very good one for most of us. Not usually a very pleasant ride on that bus, because most of us usually come to that place in salvation at a very low point. Many people were raised in good godly families that kind of went their own way, and many have come from terrible families that have gotten saved. But either way it went, we just think back to that moment in time, the treasure and the history in our lives, when we had a moment where we could choose and make a decision. And we could say that, yes, Lord, our decision today would be for you. A desire for you, a desire to come into a new place, a whole new dimension. However that was being explained to us, hopefully somewhat clearly, we would write here on the board, experience. Can't really see. We need a little bit more depth in our markers. Huh? Let me see if we have some more in our more pink here. Oh, that's a little bit better, isn't it? There we go. So, in that moment in time, there was an experience that had happened and occurred for whatever moments led up to that time. And a lot of times it wasn't so pleasant. Hope I spell that right. And one of the things that came to me was in that experience that a lot of people didn't have an awful lot of time to experience the love of God, the signs, the wonders and miracles of God, the things of God. It was get saved today and die tomorrow. The Spirit was so great upon so many, and the conviction of their consciousness where It wasn't this timeline where they could have to experience God's love, see miracles, see Him and be with Him, be with other apostles and men and women of God. A lot of the time, the experience just meant, right now you make a choice, you make a decision. You choose to live where you are with what you're doing, or you choose to die because we're not going to tolerate this blasphemous Christ that and this religion that you're talking about. In that, I think that so many of us have had such a great treasure to have had an opportunity to have a timeline of an experience, to see God work, to see Him move in other people's lives, to see the and hear the testimonies of so many. We overcome by that the blood, the word of our testimony. And we're believing today for experiences to happen, to occur. The ones that have, we just want to take a glimpse and look back. Remember that day of salvation. We want to look back and remember what that meant to our heart. And then we want to think about those things that have occurred afterwards. The good things. Because we also had what? The bad things. Which are necessary. Won't grow without the tribulations. But those high points, oftentimes we were in that point of tribulation, and then He made a way out because we couldn't dig our way out ourselves. And so we make a list of what we refer to as those Ebenezers, those high points, those times where He delivered me, and He delivered me, and He delivered me, and then again and again. And it's hard for me personally to think that how many times He has proven Himself, His love, His power, and then there goes Patrick sinking down into the mire, poor me, because of this next series of troubles and tribulations. In the opening for all of us here, I'd always like for anyone, if anyone would want to choose to interject anything, because it's always with a psalm, a hymn, a word. You know when you hear someone preach and it's just burning in your bones. You're like, I've got to say something about that. So it is. It is. It's open for those things, those circumstances, those situations that have occurred that we share together as one body. And in those things, those Ebenezers, how important it is to remember, to meditate. And like Pastor has taught us, some of those Ebenezers have been prophecies, wonderful prophecies that don't ever seem to come to pass. But there's a patience and there's a perseverance. There's a guideline to show us how to persevere, to come into that place and not lose heart. And in the community especially, I can't tell you what it means to me. I could just sit here the rest of the message and just cry and tell you the truth about where I've come from, what he's delivering me from, and to be in a fellowship like this, you know. And everything is the fellowship, everything is the body, but sometimes the fit just doesn't seem so congruent. I've been in good churches before and just sitting there and standing around and thinking like I'm invisible. I'm here without any connected, relational, fellowship. And like, why? Well, because God does have us here for those seasons, you know. Because sometimes he has to have us vanish and he has to have us disappear. And he has to remove the codependent relationships where we were depending on the other prayer partner or the other friendship or the other relationship where he's trying to put it all up there. Because when we have that relationship, that's when it becomes indestructible. Doesn't matter who's against you at that point. Who's with you? Who's against you? You know, when the guy that carried the cross across the country, he was there pretty much on his deathbed. And God told him, you know, you're to go ahead, take the cross, and start marching and carry the cross across the country. But there was a different report. The doctor said, well, you can't. You have this brain aneurysm, tumor, whatever it was. You can't leave here or you'll die. And so back to God again. So now what do I do? If I leave, I'll die. He said, oh, what did I tell you to do? Pick up your cross and go. And he went. And Arthur Blessed, if you ever get a chance to see the caption of his missionary journey around the world, carrying that cross, what God will do when he gives us a word and we dismiss everything else that would oppose that word and go on with him. Nothing is ever impossible with God. For me, just a brief testimony. I was saved as a child, maybe not completely saved, because I was saved in a Catholic church. It was about the time of confirmation. When you're confirming, you know, you get your water baptism as a baby, and this is a next generational step up and confirming that you're going to move on into the Catholic priesthood. And I was walking outside of the church by myself going home, and I'll tell you, I was just immersed with the Spirit of God. And I just floated home. I didn't have conversation for the reality of what had transpired, except for that I knew God loved me and the relationship and the connection had changed and I had a prayer life, you know, like a bad marriage, you know. Because of the lack of the knowledge of the word. But later on with lots of drug and alcohol abuse and everything, I would always get on my soapbox and preach about the goodness of God. Now, how stupid, crazy is that? But see, I knew in my heart, and I was around a lot of others that were totally antichrist and that whole realm, and having a confession of myself, and they'd look at me like, you hypocrite. How could you dare say that you have anything to do with Christ? Because you're the just like us, doper, boozer, fornicator, and in this and all that. And I say, because he loves me. And I have a prayer life. There's a relationship. It's maybe not the best in the world. But I know that. But I know that. And for this year, those things that God wants to draw, I believe he's drawing on each and every one of us fiercely for more, greater, deeper experience. Where's my marker that works? Maybe it's this one. So, this here, word. Joyce isn't here today. Y-A-D-A. This was given to my wife, the Yada, and the rest of it's the Yada Da, the Yada Praise Ministries. It's one of the deepest desires of his heart. It's that knowledge of him. You know, like the old Saturday Night Live skit, get to know me, get to know me, get to know me. And he does that through experiences, good and bad. When we're in that place where it's seemingly no hope for deliverance, and he'll pull us out. Or he'll just put us up there into that place where it was seemingly impossible to attain to. For me, in a great part of my life, it was the dope and the booze and jail, 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 jail. Almost not enough fingers to count. Jail. And so one of the last times for me for jail was, you know, the James Cagney, I'm packing, I'm not going back, they won't take me alive. That's where I was at that juncture. And so it was a real mess, and I was just running around in the hills here, nowhere to go. And up there, I made peace with God. I made a peace with God, and a peace that came to me in so many things right then had just ended. It was just over. So for the first time, you know, because how many times I was in jail, but, you know, I was never guilty. You know, it wasn't, you know, you got your... And this time I said, I'm going in. I'm going to say, here I am. And I'm guilty. I'm going to mind myself. So I told the my dad, who is a real bad fiasco with a family alcoholic situation, 21 911 calls in a period of a year, a lot of bad stuff there, and three hit and runs just within that same week. And they were going to go put me away this time for long time. And so I told my dad, I said, you know, I'm just going to just go ahead, turn myself in, so talk to the police officers. He's okay, meet us out in Colfax, meet there at the restaurant. You know, this is my last supper. And so I did. And then officer says, you know, I got to cuff you. I got to cuff you up. And I said, that's fine. I have joy, you know. It's okay, you know, from this point on, it's okay. And then I'm getting in the cop car, and my dad screams at me, booze! And I could have just strangled the guy. You know, here I am trying to do the right thing. But anyhow, go there, get to the jail, getting to the arraignment. Well, that was before. This is when I first turned myself in. I got to the arraignment. All the case stuff wasn't catching up with me. They left me go on my own recognizance because they didn't have all the case stuff, whatever. No, whoever turns themselves in, you know. But anyhow, so they let me go on my own recognizance, but I had to come back. And I was pleading guilty, so I wasn't going to have to do any trial and plea bargain. It was like, you know, this is going to be it. And you come back and you get your sentencing and your hearing. So I left out there, Jeffco Jail, walking along 6th Avenue, and a bus stops right there. There's no bus stop. It's along the highway. And the driver says, "Get in." I said, I just got out of jail. I don't have any money. Get in." I get in. Just about every stop, people coming out of restaurants and here, "Oh, here's our leftovers. Here's another plate of food. Here's something else." And that bus driver dropped everybody off. He dropped me over to my dad's house like a taxi cab driver. See, the repentance that when the mercy falls and this most ridiculous things start happening. So I go out, I'm my own attorney, I write out my whole thing, guilty as charged, and go before the judge. And you know, they have those, what they call the hanging judge. Well, I was going to be before one of those that week. And I went to my hearing, and that judge died that week. So I go into the courtroom, and the judge has her case filed. She's just dismissed, hopefully for eternal life. And he's got his files here. So he's got both files, and he's trying to get through these things as quickly as possible. He comes up to me. I'm representing myself, my own attorney. Goes to the DA, you know, "Where's the stuff?" All gone. Everything that they had from the smashed up car, the evidence, the witnesses, and nothing there. But in a when they sentence you, they look at your past, and he says, "Just because of this and this and this and this and this and this, and you should be going to jail." But there's no evidence, so he releases me off. I walk with 2 years probation, and I could still be sitting. And then I go to my probation officer, and he's a Baptist deacon. And we get into that. They actually dismissed him because they didn't, you know how the system stuff goes, and didn't want him trying to help and helps the ways of the gospel. And so that was that. I was out. I was, you know, somewhat free. Still had to go back to the system and with the courts and all that. And with my record, people like me, they don't hire many people like us. You know, we all wind up in the same spot. And so I was down there working in the spot with all the regular familiar faces, fugitives, and all those things. But I did get a chance to get a temporary position at US West before it became Quest back then. And at that time, I was repentant. So I was in Bible school, and I was gaining hold of the Word, gaining hold of that which was past, gaining hold of what the cross will do when it separates you and to the kingdom, and the blood will wash away is everything else that has never happened. And so I was in U.S. West. I was doing a, you know, good job, doing my thing. And my boss comes up to me one day and he says, "Hey, we're gonna make you an offer." And I said, "Well, it's probably not going to work out because of my past history that I've had." And so as soon as they did, the official offer went up. Security came up. "Get him out of here. He's out the door." So there I go. Shuffle me out. So I ran up to my boss and I said, "Listen," I said, "will you just leave this job requisition open for a little while?" He said, "Nobody can help you, man. This is a human resources thing. This is their policy. He says, I can't have any pull leverage for you, nothing like that. I said, would you just leave it open for me? He goes, you got a month. So I go back to the temp agency where they hired me. The girl says, well, the person that you have to talk to, I know him. He's in charge of the criminal investigation division, and he's a hard nose. And I said, will you call him, let him talk to me? She goes, you know, if you want to, go ahead. He did. So I went in, and he goes, look, he says, we don't even hire people like you because you have to be at least off of probation for at least 2 years before you can even, you know, in this part of the division. And I said, okay, I understand. But I said, I've been doing really good there. Everything's changed. Here's my testimony. He says, if you want to go get your police file, your records, he goes, all I'll tell you is I'll look at them. So I go get the... Here's the police file, all the stuff. And God opened that door. He can open a door that no man can shut. And he can seal us off too and put us away where there's vile codependent relationships and close those doors. So it was an amazing part of the, a very amazing part of the journey. And it brought me to being then able to, with the job that I did have then, I was able to buy a house. It still was a lot of turmoil because I was married and then I was getting divorced and I was losing my house and losing my job and all that. But nonetheless, I was able to purchase a home in Roxborough, lost that. We got together, and then you'd think, boy, here we go. Now the worst is ended, and here we fly away up into the heavens, but it didn't quite sail in that direction. All the trouble, the turmoil, I lost her house, so many things that had occurred. But there was always the continuation of when we did have our wedding, we had a prophetic presbytery. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for being able so many times to meditate that word and that prophecies about that which was God's plan, it's throwing that to forget it. How much hope is there going to be in this? But little by little, and little by little, and little by little, and moving along. And then the magnificent prophecies here, this house, and all the magnificent prophecies that come from Elijah House. There was one in particular because I started getting into this thing like all this physics. Yeah, it just started to come to me, physics. So I guess something that doesn't make sense to me, you know. And I thought, oh, here comes Sue, you know, with her stuff. It says, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So I couldn't quite get that. If I'm pushing against this should be like null and void, and it should just move. But it doesn't. It has the law states that if I push against that, it's pushing against me, which I still don't quite understand, but that's the way the law works. And I think sometimes with the devil, it's kind of like if we come on equal terms, he comes to Truman's house and he sits down and says, I'm gonna watch TV for a while. And Truman says, no, you're not. You're leaving. And you push, and he doesn't go. So you see these prophecies these people come up with. One, Jacob Biswell, you guys might have all took a look at it and everything. It was a while back on Elijah List, Divine Collisions. and how we collide with God and worship in our prayer and our word time, and we fill ourselves with a greater mass, matter, energy, so that when that push comes, well then, Truman brings out his 45 Magnum. And says, I guess, news for you, buddy, you're leaving. And that's the thing, filling with God, filling, having an equal, greater dimension than what it is. And so some of those times, those force fields that are, because he doesn't want to leave. He wants to steal. He wants to continue. He wants to destroy. And he wants to be on top and ravage our lives. And you see these prophecies about how collectively, when there's a collision that takes place, there's a chemical reaction that takes place. And we can absorb that Spirit of God and the mind of Christ and the heart of the Father. And then I look at this next spiritual principle, this girl, Christy Johnston, because I told Josephine, I says, you know, well, yeah, if there's a action equal opposite reaction, I said, well, what she says she came across this thing about linear momentum. You take a basketball, you set the tennis ball on the basketball, you drop them both simultaneously, and it hits, and the tennis ball goes flying because it's got that much more energy because it's coupled together with the basketball. And seeing those spiritual principles at work, seeing those spiritual principles as we are coupled together with God, it's no longer in and of ourselves and striving and trying and pushing in our own natural strength, but it's a process of absorbing those truths, meditating the truths, and then when it comes time to test, to stand, and when we've done all to stand, we stand. And seeing the testimonies of how many have had to stand in a great face of affliction. So I was down at 16th Street Mall. I was just cruising along down there. I was at that point pretty much homeless, just living at the YMCA. That's just when I was just getting straightened out, working back at Time Life and out of my jail time and, you know, moving into these concepts of faith and the Word. And God speaks. And he speaks and he says, feed my sheep. I said, wow, I gonna feed the sheep? That's for these guys, you know? And so I'm on a run, and I loved, one of my favorite things was to run with the Lord, just cruise along and just talk with God. And I was going down a trail, fairly steep trail, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a guy sitting there at the picnic table, and it's like freak show. I just, you know, like skis, turn, put the brakes on, and I'm pointing to the guy, and I said, what is that? And he goes, it's a Bible. And so I walk over, and I said, well, Where are you at? Where are you reading? He tells me, he's at John 21 and 15. He's asking Peter if he loves him, you know, in the agape sense. And of course I fillet you, Lord. You know, you're my buddy. Do you agape? Is there a a strong, unconditional love that could not be separated. But of course I fillet you, Lord. And then he says, do you fillet me? That love. How much is there? And more than these. And it just seems like that brings the closure is the, yeah, we love you, Lord, so much. As long as these conditions are met, as long as this is working out okay, but you take my ministry, you take my wife, you take this, you take that, this, that, and the other, then all of a sudden we have difficulties. He is willing to be crucified upside down because he knew of that, the depth of that love. And that's been, you know, such a convicting point ever since on this roller coaster, when it's down and when it's up, boy, but then and come into a consistency where the flesh is totally sheared. There isn't anything else. And I think for those that have been sometimes hurting, broken the most, we've done a lot of ministry down at the mission. And I'll tell you, some people that are just busted up that have hearts of gold. They don't have, you know, it's like less than nothing. And beautiful people. And another thing that I did have one dream once about one of the guys who was in ministry with, and he wasn't the best, you know, handsome looking guy, you know, in the world, and he probably had some struggles related to that physically. But God showed me a dream of his redeemed condition. And for us that have had struggles, I know I have many, especially early on, the adolescence and all. And when it gets redeemed, it gets redeemed. There's no more flaws. There's no more this, that, the other. It's a perfect condition. It's a sublime, supreme, not one higher than the other, but just a beautiful, redeemed state for everybody. And so then in closing, there was one thing that, as far as unity was concerned, I had these books here. So for me, when I really charged in, this one's, the cover's torn off. This was John G. Lake, Jack Lake. Thank God for Roberts Lyerden and Smith Wigglesworth, and how much I obtained from them. And you know, if you didn't know, some of the reasons why they got to the point where they got to, because most all of Jack, John Lee, John G. Lake's family died. Everyone became an invalid or died. Just sickness and disease was just rampant through their life. Wigglesworth, a lot of people know about his miracles and his great things that he accomplished. But, you know, for about just about the first 40 years of his life, he couldn't even preach the word. He was a stutterer. He'd get up and try, and he couldn't do it. But he did what he could. But it wasn't until the Holy Ghost brought full deliverance to him that everything, that some people have suffered years of great hardship and sacrifice. And then this one scripture reference here for the unity that came from Jack Lake in Ephesians, I think it's 4 and 5. So we always can help to do away with things that are splitting hairs or just some of the other differences. And he always said that you know, you look at the foundational elements in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and then the unities here in Ephesians. And I'll read this just quickly here. Ephesians, starting with Ephesians 4 and verse 5. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, whereof he saith when he ascended on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And his unity is there for sealing us all together in the body. And so that was pretty much it. I just wanted to give, you know, a brief history testimony. There's of course, you know, the word, it's endless. The studies are endless. The things, the revelation, the tremendous capacity. So for each and every one, I'd just like to pray the blessing of the, if there has been fresh visions, good. Older visions, good. If it's necessary to have new visions, good. But you'd never release the vision. Write it down, make it plain, put it on the table. And we all run together. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We have open eyes, Father. Eyes of understanding, knowing, Father God, that every one of your purposes for us are good, and they're supernaturally impossible to achieve any other way than by you. So in and of ourselves, Father God, we cannot accomplish the tasks at hand. Only those things that are in the vine and the fruit that will remain. And ears to hear, Lord, fresh wind of prophecy, Father God. For each and every one, Lord, the desires of their heart, seemingly how impossible it might be. Nothing is impossible with God. And like Wigglesworth would say, only believe, only believe. Let nothing else enter in. Just only believe. So we thank you, Father God. We come to you together today as believers. Believing for the impossible, believing for the miraculous, believing for every word in this book that you say it is true, it's yes and amen in our hearts, Father God. And we have an expectation for the miraculous power to be bestowed upon our lives. Signs, wonders, miracles will follow each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, that was really good. There was one thing that he said early on in the teaching here about his experience, and it was when he said, "When a door closed," he actually, if you heard it, you know, he said that God opened that door for him, and I want to add to that. I think this is the word of the Lord to somebody, that the door isn't just open because of God, but he was tenacious. He didn't accept the first no. And sometimes I think, sometimes no is no, but sometimes we give up too soon. We give up before we get to that place where the door finally opens, because it could just be one more hour. It could just, if you could just hold on for a little bit longer and not just take that one no as that's God's closed door to you, because sometimes it is not.
I just want to invite us Patrick gave us the okay. What a precious brother, and he brings such an amazing angle on things and amazing heart and character. So I just wanted to give him an opportunity, really us an opportunity, to have him pray for us. So if you guys want to respond to anything that Patrick said, I think also what John just elaborated on, like, you know, his word, and also just if you're feeling a little bit of like a hopelessness today, like, I know it sounds a little crazy, but if you're kind of feeling a little bit of a constraint on hope today, I really feel like Patrick has, I think his gold, it could really speak to you in that. So, or anything else, I'd love to just have us pray for anyone who wants to respond. So, you're invited to respond to that. Patrick will be up here with a couple of us, and have a wonderful week.